Hello, friends. On today's show, we tell you the true story that Jack Black made famous, confirm that narwhals are actually real, talk about Brazilian gardens, wink, wink, and have another great story about those buffalo. That's coming up. Jessica, please give us the intro.
We all need that one friend, don't we? The one that, no matter how crazy things get around us, always has some good news to share? Hey, what if you had two friends like that? That's twice the good times. On the rocks, not for long, because everything sounds better when you're two beers in. Now, here are your hosts, Brett Weaver and Monica Ballard.
There's a possibility of me getting a job at a theater doing IT work.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like a live theater or a movie theater? A drive-in theater?
At the AMC.
Yeah. Not the good one, the movie theater. So, yeah. Yeah, the guy was like, "Do you think you can do this?" I'm like, "Hell yeah. Just tell him. How much does it pay? What are the hours?"
Yeah.
And when do they want me to start?
And do they want me to convert?
Yeah, right.
It's like, sorry, I still like 35 millimeter. I'm not going digital.
Oh.
I will never go digital.
Okay.
See, I'm sometimes quick, Doug.
What?
Yep. Speaking of what, you're listening to Two Beers In.
What?
Beers In. It seems like I'm doing beers a little bit more lately.
Beers yep. In. Two Beers In. Well, it has been cold.
A podcast so. Where we avoid South by Southwest and instead yes. travel to the wrong places to drink beer and talk about positive stories.
Yes.
I am one of your hosts, Brett Weaver. I am enjoying, I got to look at the thing. I bought it, and then I was like, I should remember the name.
Yes, because you'll have to say it later.
Yep.
It looks like a beer.
I'm enjoying it's a wheat beer.
It's a wheat beer. Okay. Yeah.
All right, that narrows it down to about 8.
Yeah.
And okay. Your stalker needs to know the precise name.
Rain Makes Wheat. That's the one I'm enjoying.
Delightful.
I'm
Monica Ballard, your co-host.
Yes.
I'm enjoying a Heaven's Hay.
Heaven's Hay.
Hey.
Or Heaven's Hay.
No Heaven Head Hay.
It's the cat who says, hey.
And there's Doug over there.
Yeah, I'm having a floaty, which says it's an IPA, but I think it's IPA adjacent.
Talk about Monica straddling the ditch.
Soft. Yes.
He's having a floaty.
I'm having a floaty. It's tasty. Uh-oh.
Well, once again, we've gone to a new place.
Yay!
We're at Austin Beer Works off Industrial in North Austin.
Yes, we are.
You know, over by the Coca-Cola plant.
Sure.
That's how we describe it. We have some stories we'd like to tell you about.
Yeah.
And then maybe some members of the Lone Star voiceover community will show up, especially since we're taking over their table right
yeah.
now.
Oh, that's why it says table closed.
Table closed. And I check just in case, and they're like, yeah, those two tables.
So, okay.
There we go.
Well, we look like voiceover people because we're holding microphones.
And we have...
So ain't nobody going to bust us.
And we have headphones on.
Yes.
Too. And the person that's running it knows that I'm doing this. And so,
there we go.
So it'll all be
We're good. In the clear.
That's right.
So we're not going to get tased this time?
Not this time.
Not okay. this time.
Not like
they
last
like
time.
They like to record that.
Yes.
And use it for other
for
things.
Foley.
It's like the Wilhelm scream.
Ooh, I got to go.
That was actually from the first podcast.
Yeah,
yes. Way back. It was the first podcast. The guy was on a horse.
Yep.
They
yep.
were recording. He fell off, made a noise, and the rest is history.
There we are.
Let's start with the first story.
All right.
Tell me if this sounds familiar. This Mexican priest performed as a wrestler to pay for orphanage that nurtured thousands.
Wait. I seem to recall like a Jack Black movie
yep.
kind of thing.
Yep.
Nacho Libre?
No, that's not it. So if the headline
it does
of this
sound
story,
like an Adam Sandler Mad Lib.
Let me get there.
Okay.
If the headline to this story sounds oddly like the plot of the movie Nacho Libre starring Jack Black, that's because they are one and the same.
What?
Frey Tormenta was a mass wrestler that delighted crowds in Mexico's Lucha Libre circuit for years. But few would have known that underneath the mask there was a man of God. A drug-addicted turned priest. Wait.
Drug-addict turned priest.
Oh, okay. He was addicted to priests. Who wrestled purely to raise money for an orphanage. The story, though decades old, resurfaced and was retold recently on a Spanish news outlet. Sergio Gutierrez Benitez was born in 1945, the second youngest of 18 children.
Oh, mama was busy.
My mom was the youngest of 13, and I always thought that was impressive. This is way more impressive.
Well, Catholic.
Yeah.
There you go.
So by the tender age of 11, Benitez was addicted to drugs and proceeded down a path of crime, robbery, and odd jobs. Why does the third have to be something totally normal?
That's to give you some hope that he tried to turn his life around.
Yes. So he started I started when I was 11 or 12. In this country, drugs have always been very present, recounted Benitez to El Confidencial. I did everything, marijuana and cocaine every day, even mushrooms from time to time. A little after that, I started heroin. At age 20, Benitez started staring down murder charges.
Ooh.
After a friend of his in a gang he was in turned up dead.
Dun,
fortunately,
dun, dun.
Fortunately, an alibi of drunkenly passing out in a bar elsewhere helped him evade the slammer.
Okay.
And my dad would have been there to minister to him.
Yep.
After that, he sought confession for reasons only he can say. But even though he was turned away for his wickedness, he joined the seminary and became a priest in the Piarist order? Piarist. Studying in Spain and Italy to cement his faith. After joining the Diocese of Texcoco, he wanted to build a shelter for the city's many homeless children and orphans, but the costs were prohibitive. In early life of gang and street fighting, in which he was stabbed, beaten up, and shot, he thought, you know, why not wrestling?
Sure.
I mean, it paid $15 per hour under the... and so he started wrestling for $15 per hour under the name Frey Tormenta. He ended up wrestling for 23 years.
Woo!
Ouch. From 77 to 2000, traveling from town to town, elbow dropping, tombstoning, and saying brother on his way to semi-stardom. Relying on his mask to hide his identity, he eventually revealed his double personality to officiate the wedding of a close wrestling colleague shortly after opening his orphanage, the object of his long fight at the turn of the millennium.
So there's no contemporary story here. It's just kind of like, hey, movie was for real.
Yeah. Like,
wow.
Yeah.
Getting all the latest news.
I mean, it was based on a real story.
Yes. Yes. Only much funnier.
They probably took out all the heroin. I don't know, Monica. Sometimes heroin can be really funny.
Really funny.
It's really cocaine that's funnier than
you're
heroin,
a weird after school special. I'm just saying.
All I'm saying is, kids, do more drugs. What's the worst that can happen?
No.
Did you think we had too many listeners? Is that the point?
Yep, that's what it is.
Very special after-school special.
Especial. Especial after-school especial. You want to take this one?
Sure. Drone capture. I get all the drone stories, don't I?
Yep.
Okay. Drone captures first ever evidence of narwhals using their tusks to explore, forage, and play.
Do you know why I picked this story, Doug?
No.
Oh, you know? Okay, keep going.
Okay. Drone footage has revealed that the narwhal actively wields its long tusk for hunting and play behavior, opening up new fields of study over one of the ocean's most charismatic denizens.
Mm-hmm.
The scientific name of the narwhal is complicated, so I'm going to skip that.
No.
Monodon monoceros.
Gusenite.
Exactly, gusenite. literally translates to one tooth, one horn.
I love it.
Flying purple people eater.
Yep.
One tooth, one horn. Yeah. an incredibly iconic name, since the first thing anyone learns about the narwhal is that what appears to be a horn is actually a tooth or a tusk.
Mm-hmm.
At least someone was paying attention, even if someone else wasn't.
Yes.
The tusk, which is predominantly found in males, of course,
sure,
can grow up to 10 feet long, and it's one of the most fascinating adaptations in nature and the inspiration for myths such as the unicorn.
Yes.
It is believed to play a role in competition for mates, including mating displays.
Mm-hmm.
The tusk may have other uses, and its function has long been debated. Long been debated.
Long. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Get it?
Primarily because few people have observed how these elusive animals use their tusks in the wild.
Yes.
Limited field observations have long left the creature's true nature to gut instinct, speculation, and, dare we say, wild fantasy. But researchers from Florida Atlantic University's Harbor Branch Oceanographic Institute and Canada's Department of Fisheries and Oceans.
Great recovery.
Thank you. In partnership with Inuit communities in Canada's high Arctic, provide the first evidence of narwhals using their tusks in the wild to investigate, manipulate, and influence the behavior of Arctic char. These common and delicious game fish of the northern seas were found to be on the receiving end of the narwhal's tusk, with the whales delivering sufficient force to stun and possibly kill the fish.
Man.
Using drone observations, researchers captured 17 distinct behaviors which shed light on the dynamics between the narwhal and its prey. The results of the studies published in the journals Frontiers in Marine Science.
Science!
also reveal the first evidence of likely play, specifically exploratory object play.
Oh, boy.
That's what we're going with.
Oh,
yes.
Oh.
In narwhals.
They're like, yes, give me a place, a profession.
Oh, good. We're going to do narwhal fanfic.
Yes. Improv. Yeah. Narwhal improv. Yeah. Is
and
what we're doing.
Go. aspects of the narwhal's actions, for example, may have also included social learning and possibly social instruction and personality differences among individual narwhals. Narwhals are known for their tusking behavior.
Love it.
Where two or more of them simultaneously raise their tusks almost vertically out of the water, crossing them in what may be a ritualistic behavior to assess a potential opponent's qualities.
Sword fight.
Or to display those qualities to potential mates. Here's what I've got. What have you got?
Check out my tooth.
That's right.
They're just posing for the coat of arms.
Yes. Yeah. It's for weddings.
Yes.
The narwhals exhibited remarkable dexterity, precision, and speed of movement with their tusks, and regularly made adjustments to track the moving target, in this case, the fish.
Yes.
The tusk, especially the tip of the tusk, was used to interrogate and manipulate target fish.
Hey, you.
Hey, what school are you belong to?
I am poking you. I'm not poking you. I'm poking you. I'm not.
Oh, you dead.
Our observations, this scientist speak now, our observations provide clear evidence of narwhals chasing fish and using their tusks to interact directly with the fish and to influence the fish's behavior. Some of the interactions we saw appeared competitive in nature, with one whale blocking or trying to block another whale's access to the same target fish, while others may have been more subtle. Possibly
so fish polo.
Communicative, yeah. And even affiliative.
Huh.
None appeared overtly aggressive.
Yeah. So the reason why, because first of all, narwhals are awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know.
I've read your narwhal fanfic.
Fanfic, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. It's all there.
Narwhals, for me, made famous in Elf.
Of course.
Okay.
When our friends Val and Don were at the movies watching Elf, and here comes out of the water, and Val goes, "Oh, look, a narwhal." And they said, "Hey, buddy, hope you find your dad." And he goes, "Thank you, Mr. Narwhal." And Don goes, "What the fuck is a narwhal?" Funniest thing. He's like, those don't exist. No, they do exist. I don't believe you.
I, too, thought it was a mythical beast.
Oh, you thought it was mythical?
Yes, yes. So, apparently the drones have proved me wrong.
Proved you wrong. And not only do they exist, they play.
They
No, apparently your parents weren't nerdy enough to get you science books when you were younger.
Yeah, we had the in volume of the Encyclopedia Britannica.
Yeah, dog-eared.
Yeah. It's the only one I could read.
No, I was into astronomy, not oceanography.
Ah, yeah.
Whatever cool information I could get together. I was always happy with that.
I don't think the nuns could have told us much about narwhals. No. They were busy teaching other myths.
Yes.
Like
the solar system.
First you get down on your knees.
Water
with
and
your
wine.
Rosaries.
Okay.
Bow your head with great respect and genuflect.
So let's move on from that kind of nature to city nature. Gray slums of Brazil turn green with rooftop garden projects in full bloom. From the rooftop of Rio de Janeiro slum, amid sheet after sheet of corrugated iron, one man reclines amid succulents and ficus.
What you
Doug's
doing today?
Doug's looking at me again. Doug's looking at me again like,
he's saying words.
I'm reclining among succulents and ficus. What are you doing?
That's right.
I feel like Jeremy Gregg would be sitting right next to him.
Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely.
Yes, I'm feeling quite succulent.
Yes.
But, oh, my dear, though, you're quite desiccated.
Desiccated. Let's build a rooftop garden, shall we? So his name is Luis Cassiano Silva, and he is the progenitor of the Teto Verde Favela, or the Green Roofs Favela Initiative, described by one academic as an exercise in insurgent citizenship.
Yes!
Rio's famous favelas are informal settlements neglected by the government that suffer from the urban heat island effect, even more so than the city's metropolitan core. Winding alleys and corridors of exposed brick, metal, and concrete without a tree to be seen, the favelas absorb heat from the sun and radiate it out into the neighborhoods rather than out into space like a forest. Taking responsibility for improving the lives of the community, in 2014, Cassiano began teaching and planning, gardening and growing all over Parque Arara, one of Rio's large favelas. Green roofs are used widely in Europe to climate-proof buildings. So basically, it got to Brazil.
Yeah.
And they're like, you know, everywhere else is all this forest and jungle. Why don't we do some of that here?
Yeah.
You think we could find some forest to put on the roof? I think so.
It not only led to a reduction in the heat island effect, but also contribute to slowing rainwater runoff, keeping indoor areas cooler, and keeping outdoor air cleaner and more moist.
Moist.
While the informality of favelas makes it all but impossible for centralized government to implement similar plans at scale, and while rows and rows of rooftop plants make it difficult to film the next Jason Bourne film, spontaneous community-led planning and self-reliance can succeed in insulating low-income earners from climate change's worst effects, and according to one academic, should not be interfered with.
I knew they just built those favelas for Jason Bourne films.
Yeah,
I knew
that was the whole reason.
Yeah.
So the favela is this. Samba and love, but also sadness because it's poor. The color green will reduce violence, and we're close to green space. Oh, wait. When we're close to green space, we feel good. Favelas need this. And it's interesting because I would love to hear I would love to hear Heaton's take on this, because it's like, this is what happens when you have no zoning, Heaton.
I just think that Insurgent Citizenship sounds like an awesome name for an improv group.
Yes. Yeah, I was in that band. It was amazing.
Yeah, that's a punk band. By the way, I think I saw the lead singer to Suicidal Tendencies.
Oh, really?
At NASCAR.
Uh-huh.
Oh, cool.
This weekend. Because I'm standing in line, and he's got a Suicidal Tendencies shirt on.
Uh-huh.
He's got a tattoo on his head. He's a Hispanic guy. I'm like, okay, fitting all the thing. And the guy that's standing with me, we're looking over like, eh? Oh, it's Reed. Reed was with me. And we're like, and I go, all I wanted was just one Pepsi. But you wouldn't give it to you. And I see the guy kind of, which is, that's the song.
It's a line.
Okay.
Basically, the big punchline is, I'm not crazy, institution. You're the one who's crazy, institution. It's great punk. It's excellent punk. Speaking of punk. No.
What?
No, we're not doing that.
What segue is this?
Let's get on to the last story.
You punked me.
Yes,
on
I
that
punked
one.
You.
Yes.
She turned away just enough for me to go, speaking
what?
Of. She's like, what? What? Huh?
What? Hey, wait a second.
Wait a second.
We got to talk about the bison.
Yes, again.
Yes.
Because we talked about him last week.
I don't know. We're following the bison.
Yes.
Actually, I think we did it 2 weeks ago, and then we did the Patreon like the week after, so it was both weeks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Bison return to Manitoba First Nation lands for the first time in 100 years.
Wow.
How lost did they get?
I know. Yeah. Well, they didn't have that.
They're like the Jews.
Oh, no. So they're kosher.
Yep.
In December of last year, when snow covered the ground and a man's breath turned to frost in the air before his eyes.
What are you doing with that accent? What accent is that?
A small plane in Manitoba
in a world.
Hummed with the thudding of hooves.
Yes. This is well. I like the writing
yes.
of this.
Delicious hooves.
Yes. Mm, the Bird Tail Sioux Dakota Band of Southern Manitoba, Canada,
love
welcomed 11 bison onto their tribal lands for the first time in over 100 years.
Their third album was my favorite.
Yeah. Received as a gift from the much larger Sioux Valley Dakota Nation, also located in Manitoba, the mini herd.
Herd.
Included a sacred white calf, a symbol of fortune for the tribes when times are bad. Released into the pasture to the sound of the bison song. We love the bison song, don't we? We love the bison song. Like, nope.
Bisons are such great singers. Yes. And their DJ is amazing.
Members of the Bird Tail Sioux cried out in celebration as the herd stampede out over the frosty plains.
What did that sound like, Monica?
It's like...
Okay, sure. What did the cry sound like?
Beatbox ball.
Okay, sure.
Birdtail Knowledge Keeper, a title I think we all want.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
And land-based coordinator Doug Hanska asked those in
Doug
attendance.
Doug Hanstuff.
Yep.
No, Hanska.
Oh, okay.
Asked those in attendance, can you feel the energy? Not can you feel the love tonight.
Yes.
Can you feel the energy? The significance of the white calf, gifted from another nation no less, is great. The story goes that long ago, the prairie nations were starving as the buffalo had vanished.
Why are you saying it that
way? A beautiful woman in white came to the Lakota tribe one day and taught them how all things on the earth are connected.
Oh.
When the lessons concluded, she transformed into a white buffalo calf and brought a massive herd of bison to the people, promising to return in that same form in times of need.
That was one of my favorite DC comics.
Buffalo's always chasing the white girl.
So essentially she said, look, here are others of my kind. Eat them.
Yes, right.
Don't eat me.
Don't eat me. Just
I
eat
brought
them. I'm magic.
So it's like the Far Side cartoon with the bear pointing at the other bear?
Yes.
Basically, this is a Judas buffalo.
It's a Judas calf. It's a Judas buffalo calf. Judas bison
so
calf.
So you know what happened today? today was Amplify Austin.
Yeah.
Where you could give money to...
I thought we were supposed to remember the Alamo, but it's Remember Amplify Austin.
Austin, yep.
Okay.
Alamo who?
Yeah.
Oh, and rent a car, right.
Yeah.
And it's for nonprofits that are in the Austin area. And Penfold, we reached our goal. Yay!
Huzzah!
Which is great.
Let's have ice cream on that Alamo.
What would be greater is if we were part of Amplify Austin, but since we're not,
no.
Then you should go to patreon.com/2beersin.
Because we know you got that money lying around.
You can just do
it. I was going to give this to Penfold, but they already reached their goal.
Yeah.
So tell you what, I'll just give it to these guys.
Yeah, we like, the money spends the same.
Yeah.
In fact, probably some of the money goes to Penfold Theater on accident.
This is true.
Yeah, you can do that, become a member there. You'll get the special extra episode if you join us. Or if you just want to give us money, you can go to 2beersin@waitlistpod.com. Sorry, just went away for a second. And go into either PayPal or Venmo and give us money that way. And we'd be very thankful. So, yeah.
There you go.
Please may see more.
No hard sell.
No, I'm trying to, you know. You guys can, I hope you've been listening.
You're responsible adults.
You can do the thing. It'll be great. I mean, I'll probably do a hard sell once a month is what I'll try to do a hard sell just once a month.
Okay.
We'll see if that changes.
You too can save PBS.
Yep. Well, I want to tell you about our closing song.
Please do. Because I didn't click the link.
Nope.
I see it's a remix.
Yeah, it is a remix. It's a new song.
Mm-hmm.
I know that we're not supposed to be political, and I know that it should all be positive. So the positive thing is this song is a banger. It was featured on John Oliver's Last Week Tonight.
Okay.
It is a remix from A Gift from Todd, and it was originally recorded by Vinnie Marchi.
Yep. And this is—it's a terrific song.
Before I tell you the title of the song, thank you for listening to us.
Thank you.
I have been Brett Weaver. I have been.
He's
drinking.
No longer Brett Weaver, but he was. Rain Makes
Wheat.
There you go.
Yep.
I'm Monica Ballard. I've been enjoying Heaven's Hay.
Hey. And Doug.
And I'm Doug Hanstuff. And I've.
yep. You don't know how true that
Whoa.
Is.
And I've been drinking a floaty IPA.
Yeah,
floaty.
Sure. Floaty. So, everyone, please listen to this song, Hostile Government Takeover, the EDM remix.
Everybody dance.
And we'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Push this button. Where's the button? There's the button.
We're in the middle of a hostile government takeover. I wanna talk about it, but I've been late for work. And if you say you wait a minute, do we have to stop this? We had one, but you didn't want that lady in office. Don't worry about up and down. This ain't about left and right. You better stop messing around.
Everyone.